Our second reading today comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. In your Pew Bible, you can find that on page 32. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version, so it'll be just a touch different. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who had been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold what I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took a hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take my word to my brethren and leave for Galilee. There they will see me." Now, while they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.' And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. Holy wisdom, holy word. We are proof of the resurrection. You and I, as we live and breathe, are proof that Jesus rose on the third day. Now let me explain. You see, we gather here every Sunday, we read scripture, we hear about Jesus and how his ministry applies to our lives, we sing, we praise God, we pray, and then we hopefully take all that we've learned about God, about ourselves, about our neighbors. We take that out into the world, and we offer something. We offer a light of hope to what's really often a messed up world. When we do each of these things, we are saying with every fiber of our being that, yes, the resurrection happened. And it is happening. Jesus lives. The proof is not necessarily in the emptiness of the tomb, but as the New Testament scholar Clarence Jordan once said, it's in the fullness of our hearts as disciples and followers of Jesus. That's how Mary recognized Jesus in the garden outside the tomb. And that's how the disciples recognized Jesus at dinner. Not in the emptiness, not in the absence of Jesus' body, but in the fullness of their hearts, in the presence of something very different. It was supposed to be that Jesus died a violent death at the hands of the state. End of story. That's it. The end. another brown-skinned body who had ruffled some feathers, a violent death, a short life. And then folks were supposed to carry on, business as usual. His friends would hide for a short while till the heat died down. The hustle and bustle of Jerusalem would continue on, not even missing a beat. And Rome would continue on with its control of the area. Everything would be as it should be. In reality, that wasn't the end. Far from it. Things were different. Something had changed, a shift in the storyline. God's understanding of how things should be was radically different. As Christians, we've taken this new reality and incorporated it into our lives. We act in a particular way as if we've been changed, as if we've been transformed. And in many ways, we have. We believe particular things about ourselves, about others, about the world, mainly that God is love, and that God loves each and every one of us. We believe certain things about the past and particular things about the future. With God's grace, our past doesn't have to define us, and the possibilities for our futures are endless. We believe in the miracle of grace, the possibilities of hope, and the relief that comes with redemption. We believe in peace, justice, inclusion, radical welcome. Because of this, because of all these things, you and I are tangible remnants, the living proof that indeed Jesus lives. We believe these things and we live these things. This is everything the Tabernacle United Church is all about. When we put these beliefs into action, we practice the resurrection. Now, you see, I'm a graduate of Union Theological Seminary. One of my professors, the Reverend Dr. James Cone, the father of Black liberation theology, passed away recently. I had not realized how much of an impact his teaching had on my own theology. And I thank God for him, because I could not imagine a theology that did not hold space for the oppressed, a theology that did not include a preferential option for the poor. Dr. Cone wrote in his book, God of the Oppressed, the following: Christians join the cause of the oppressed in the fight for justice, not because of some philosophical principle of the good or because of a religious feeling of sympathy for people in prison. Sympathy does not change the structures of injustice. The authentic identity of Christians with the poor is found in the claim which the Jesus encounter lays upon their own lifestyle, a claim that connects the word Christian with the liberation of the poor. Christians fight not for humanity in general, but for themselves and out of their love for concrete human beings. To practice the resurrection is to have the resurrection of Jesus become a part of every fiber of your life. It's to bear witness to the poor, to the oppressed, to the marginalized. It's to take the side of the immigrant. It's to stand with people of color. It's to embrace folks who are queer or trans. It's to wholeheartedly say no to violence of all kinds, whether it's in the streets, in another country, or at the home. It's to protect our environment. It's to say no to walls and guns and wars, and yes to funding schools and helping folks find jobs and providing access to affordable health care and making it easier just for people to live. That is a resurrection agenda. Liberation of every single one of God's children from any and all kinds of oppression should be our agenda too. To practice the resurrection is to stand in the gap between pain and wholeness. As we practice the resurrection, it doesn't mean we skip straight to the Easter Sunday hope. And then we go and tell folks, hey, everything is fine, without acknowledging that suffering does exist. We have the very real task of sitting alongside folks who are suffering. The resurrection encompasses all of that, the suffering, the pain, the waiting, and the newness. It isn't easy. The crucifixion wasn't easy. The resurrection isn't easy either. It takes real commitment to hold on to hope. It takes a lot less energy to give up and submit to the status quo, the way things are, than it does to say, no, no, another world is possible. Jesus knew this. He told his friends, hey, things are about to get real rough around here. It's going to be bad. But hold on. Pray. Be with one another. Look out for each other. Love one another. If we're going to do this kingdom work, if we're going to practice the resurrection, then we must. We must be prepared. There are so many things working against us. The systems and powers of death that want to see us fail, then want to take our energy and our spirit and distract us away from the true task at hand. We have to be strong when these powers of death tell us that our enemies are to be found in people of color or in undocumented folks. We have to be courageous when these powers of death tell us that we need more guns. We need to be faithful when the powers of death tell us more war and more conflict is the answer to our insecurity. We must lean on God. We must lean on our communities when powers and systems of death tell us lies. We know the truth. We know God's love. We know God's grace. We know the importance of peace and community and radical hospitality. So, Tab, be strong. In the face of all those things, all those lies, fill your spirit. Rest with God in prayer and take all that the Lord gives you and offer it back to the world. The gospel cannot and will not be contained by a tomb. God's love cannot be contained or held back by systems of death. In fact, Jesus rose in spite of those systems. If you notice in our gospel text, there's a bit of curious information we're given. The guards, the ones outside the tomb, they were outright bribed to keep quiet about what they had seen. The crucifixion was a very public display of violent suppression of dissent. The resurrection, however, the good news, the ultimate sign of hope, was to be kept quiet. The very thing that would bring hope to the oppressed, to the marginalized, in Jesus' time was dangerous, and word could not get out. But it's still true today. The powers of death in this world still do everything they can to make sure that the true message of Jesus is silenced, that the hope of the resurrection is kept quiet. Through the resurrection, God tells the systems of this world that God's love, God's justice, God's will cannot and will not be suppressed or denied. As Christians in this world, we have an important task before us if we're up for it. And because of that, we need to be prepared for it. Are we stuck in a tomb mindset? Have we resigned ourselves to the powers of evil, of racism, of capitalism, of homophobia, of transphobia, of poverty, of warfare, of state violence, of police brutality, of capital punishment, of a post-truth era? Are we resigned? Or are we proof of the resurrection? Do we believe in God's love, in God's justice, in God's peace, in truth, in hope, in mercy, in compassion, in community? Then we have no choice but to practice the resurrection every day, every moment, unafraid, assured of God's presence with us, assured of God's love, assured that Jesus indeed lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.